Welcome to Redwood. A special welcome to those of you tuning in online. If we haven't met before, my name is Melissa. I am one of the pastors here. I remember the moment clearly. It was a gray, overcast day. The wind was blowing. I was driving out of the parking lot from the church that we used to work at in Vancouver, and I got to a red light. This was a very busy part of the city, so there were lots of cars and lots of people, very busy intersection. And I looked over to my left and saw the pedestrians waiting to cross the street, and one person in particular caught my eye. He appeared to be homeless or vulnerable in some way. He seemed to be staring off into the distance, and he was oblivious to the people around him, but to be honest, the people around him seemed oblivious to him as well. There was this big space around him. Nobody came close. It allowed me to see a sign hanging around his neck, a sign that said blind and deaf. Imagine what it would be like to be standing at a busy intersection and to be blind and deaf. You can't see anything. You can't hear anything. No input coming in. I began to wonder how this guy was going to cross the street. How would he know when it was time to go if he couldn't see the walk signal flashing? He couldn't hear the beeping that came on for the visually impaired. How would somebody even help him? Would you just go up and gently grab his elbow, or would that be an invasion of his space if you couldn't communicate to him in advance and ask for permission? And how would he even tell you where he was going? I began to notice that the cars around me didn't seem to see this guy, and the people around him still weren't noticing this sign, and so I started to get a little panicky. What if he stepped out in front of traffic? What if he got hit by a car? Where was he going, and where did he come from anyway? And then my light turned green. I had to go. I couldn't stop there. And so as I drew farther and farther and farther away, I began to get more and more panicky for the plight of this guy who is blind and deaf. And then I sensed God saying something to me. This is what it's like for most people in the city. They're spiritually blind and spiritually deaf to the realities of my kingdom. They need someone to gently grab them by the elbow to lead them across the street, or better yet, they need to be healed. So their eyes are open, their ears are unplugged so that they can see and hear me more clearly and step into my kingdom and all that I have to offer. Today, we're starting a brand new sermon series. And he told them a story based on the stories that Jesus told throughout his life. Jesus was a good teacher, and he often used stories called parables to teach about the realities of his kingdom, the nature of the king, and what it was like for the citizens of the kingdom. In our story today, Jesus talks about why he tells stories in the first place. And it has to do with being spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. His parables are like coming alongside the blind and the deaf, opening eyes, opening ears, so that we can step fully into his kingdom, so that we can be full participants in the life that he has to offer. And so we're going to start today with Matthew 13, with a parable called the sower. And the sower has been called the parable about parables. Jesus tells us exactly why he's telling stories to teach. And here's the context. He's already been doing a lot of work. Jesus has been healing people. He's been casting out demons. He's been teaching about the realities of his kingdom. And the crowds are growing. Tons of people are flocking to Jesus. The people watching him are the religious elite. And they're skeptical of Jesus. They're a little bit judgmental. They're not sure who this guy is and why he's disrupting everything that they know and they hold so dear. The crowd would also include those who are drawn to something sensational happening. The crowd would also include those who have come to be healed, who genuinely need to be healed, and they know that this guy can probably do it. And there would be those who had decided to become Jesus' followers, his disciples, his inner circle, and those on the fringes. You might say that Jesus' crowd that day included a mix of people who were spiritually blind and deaf, and those who could see and hear him, and those who are ready to be healed. And so with that in mind, let's now turn to Matthew 13. We're going to read verses 1 to 10 and 13 to 16. Matthew 13, starting in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by a lake. This is the day that he's been doing lots of healing and casting out of demons. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? We jump ahead to verse 13, where Jesus now quotes the prophet Isaiah. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their eyes or hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you because blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, as we pray every single week when we come to your word, by the power of your Spirit, would you open our eyes and our ears that we might receive your word today and that we might be fully healed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus lived in a culture that told stories, a lot of stories. Values, cultural values, and life lessons were passed down from generation to generation using stories. And Jesus knew that for a story to do its job, it needed to be grounded in the local culture. The culture of Jesus' time was agrarian. Everybody would have understood farming. That's why Jesus' stories, as we'll see in the coming weeks, involve lots of things like sheep and wheat and seeds and mustard seeds and weeds. If Jesus were to come today and he was standing here face to face and telling us stories, he might talk about things like snow and snow removal. Or maybe he'd talk about lakes and fishing for walleye. Maybe he'd talk about Fort William and Port Arthur and Intercity and Fort William First Nation. And depending on the crowd, maybe he'd talk about Murillo and Roslyn and Current River. He would talk about shopping at Superstore. And he'd talk about saunas. And he'd talk about powwows. And he'd talk about the internet and electricity and maybe potholes in the road. Whatever he was talking about would make sense to us, because his heart, his desire is that our eyes would be opened, our ears would be unplugged, and we would step more fully into a relationship with him, and that we would be transformed. And so going back to Jesus' time with farming, how it worked is the farmers would go up and down the fields, and they would just toss the seeds out. And then after they tossed all the seeds, they would take their plow, and they would hitch it up to donkeys or oxen who would go and they'd plow the field. And as they did, it would turn the seeds into the soil. But inherent in this practice was the understanding that some seeds fell on other ground. In the story today, Jesus identified 4 different kinds of ground that the seeds fall on. So as people who long to have our eyes opened and our ears unplugged, we would do well to listen to this story with the question in mind. When the seeds of the kingdom are thrown into my life, who am I? Am I the path? Am I the rocky ground? Am I the thorns? Or am I the good soil? Out of all of these four options, only one leads to a rich harvest. Only one leads to fully opened eyes and ears. The other three eventually lead to spiritual blindness and deafness. But the good news about this is that Jesus doesn't tell these stories to condemn us. Jesus tells us these stories to invite us into something better. And so let's start with the path. Now, since Jesus told stories in a contemporary setting that made sense to his listeners, I'm going to try and tell this story in a way that would make sense to us today. So a group of four friends made a New Year's resolution to eat healthier. And so they decided that they were going to download this healthy eating app. It came with an eating plan and some coaching, and it told them what groceries to buy, and it gave them some recipes. And they had mixed results by the end of about a month. The first friend, after the end of that month, admitted that they were skeptical about the whole thing in the first place, so they didn't even download the app. The second friend downloaded the app with great excitement and joy, and they were so excited that they downloaded an exercise app as well. They were all in, but very quickly got overwhelmed with all of the demands of it, and eventually, within a week, the pull of their old habits, the evening TV shows and the chips and the snacks, won over, and they abandoned the plan. The second friend downloaded the app, but soon the priorities of life started to crowd in. Life was just too busy, and even though they had every intention of following through, they just ended up falling away from it, just due to life circumstances. And the fourth friend got to the end of the plan. And they were successful. They downloaded the app, they accessed the coaching, they threw away the old food from their cupboards, they added new food that was healthy and good, they followed the recipes, and they saw results. They felt healthier. They had lost some weight, they had more energy, and they were even healed from some old illnesses and sicknesses from years past. Now, in our story today, the path that we're talking about is like friend number one, who doesn't download the app at all because they are too skeptical that it's even going to work. This is like hearing the good news about Jesus, God who came to the earth he created because he loves us all so much that he wants to heal us and spend eternity with us, but then totally rejecting it, totally doing nothing about it because we are so critical. Now, we could hear this and we could think about the millions of people in the world or the thousands of people probably right here in our city who have heard about Jesus but are rejecting Jesus because of hostility or because of judgmental attitudes. However, the most judgmental, critical people in the crowd that day were the religious insiders, the Pharisees, the most churchy out of all of them. They would have heard Jesus say things like, forgive your enemies. They would have seen Jesus going out and touching the untouchables and healing them. They would have seen Jesus gathering around this inner circle that included women and tax collectors and the very, very immoral, sinful people. They would have even seen Jesus tell the most sinful people among them, your sins are healed. Or your sins are forgiven. As Jesus lifted up the broken and the downtrodden and the marginalized, Jesus threatened the religious people's power, their certainty, their sense of security. If the sayings that Jesus said, if his stories were true, then it meant that the Pharisees, the religious people's lives, would have to change. Their lives would be upended. Now, listen to what Jesus says about this. Jesus says, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. The seeds never ever got plowed into the soil because the ground was too hard. And so the seeds were eaten by the birds. Now, this particular parable is one of the few parables in the Bible where a little later on, Jesus gives his own interpretation of what's happening here. And so in verse 18, he says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown among the path. In our spiritual blindness and deafness, the message of Jesus sits on the surface and can't penetrate into the soil of our hearts. The religious leaders that day fit the bill, and some of us might as well. They were far too critical or judgmental, and they thought they knew all the answers to be able to receive the good news that Jesus had for them. But this path could also refer to people who are not religious and hear the words of Jesus, but their hearts are hardened for various reasons. But either way, notice what Jesus says. He says, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This evil one is called the devil or Satan in other parts of the Bible. Satan is the enemy of God. The enemy of God who tries to take God out by turning us away from God. And so Satan is like the crow who steals the seeds of the kingdom before the seeds of the kingdom can penetrate our hearts and change our lives. Satan the crow doesn't have to work very hard if the paths of our lives are hard, packed, and the seeds are just sitting there on the surface. If you think this might be you, there's good news in this message today. And it's the good soil. But before we get to the good soil, we're going to talk about the other two types of ground that Jesus talks about. The next one, after the path, is the rocky ground. Now, going back to my New Year's Eve resolution analogy, the rocky ground is the friend who downloads the healthy eating app with joy and is so excited that they download the exercise app as well. And they're going really strong for about 2 days before it feels like too much. And then the allure of their old lifestyle takes hold. And before you know it, they're not exercising and eating healthy. They're sitting in front of the TV watching chips night after night after night after night. Now, Jesus knew that there were people in the crowd who were listening to him that day who were full of joy and excitement about what was happening. They were maybe experiencing the euphoria that comes of being in the ground floor of this growing movement. They probably had this idea that Jesus was going to be the Messiah that they thought he should be, meaning come and overthrow the Roman government and free us from Roman colonial oppression. This person is like the person who hears about Jesus and receives the message with great joy and is all in, goes to all the classes, volunteers for all the things, buys all the books, downloads the Bible app, gets a new Bible, is doing all of the stuff. They're on fire for God, and we all look at that person and we're like, wow, God is doing amazing things in their life, and then boom, the fire is out. More often than not, this person encounters a situation where Jesus is asking them to step into something new, but this something new is in contrast with something old in their life, and that allure of the old thing is too great. And because they're brand new in the faith and their roots aren't deep yet, they end up falling away. Jesus knew that there were those people in the crowd who would fall away too. Very soon, he's going to start talking about how he's going to go to the cross. And he's going to say things like, if you want to be my follower, you're going to have to take up your cross too. And by the time Jesus does get to the cross, all of those crowds would have abandoned him. Now, listen to how Jesus talks about this. He says, some of the seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. He explains it later on with this. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you're seeing that maybe you're in danger here. You're fairly new to the faith and you are super excited and you've jumped in with both feet and things are looking awesome, but there is that niggling thing that you think Jesus is asking you to step out of and you don't want to. Or maybe you did fall away and you're back. And if this is you, in either scenario, there is good news, and the good news is the good soil, but We're going to talk about one more type of ground before we get to that good soil, and that is the thorns. In my New Year's resolution parable, the thorns is like the friend who downloads the healthy eating app, but other priorities in life end up getting in the way. I resonate so strongly with this friend. How many times have I decided that I am going to eat healthy? I'm going to get in shape. And so I download a plan, or I print off a plan, or I write a meal plan on our whiteboard at home. But then life gets busy. Instead of leaving work at 4:30 like I usually try to do, I end up leaving at 5:30. And because the kids have got sports and I have to drive them, I end up driving through fast food at a drive-thru or at a fast food drive-thru. I had every intention of eating healthy, but it's just not a priority. This is like the person who hears the message of Jesus. Maybe it's through the Christmas Eve service or through the Alpha course, or maybe a friend has shared Jesus with them. And they believe. They step into a relationship with Jesus, but Jesus is just another priority among a whole bunch of other priorities in life. Because Jesus isn't the top priority. Gentle Jesus, who doesn't get pushy and force his way into our lives, ends up getting pushed out by the larger, the louder voices, the bigger priorities, the things that are more pressing, our school and our homework and our jobs and our family commitments and our leisure activities and maybe our addictions. Whatever it is, it's not that we don't want to follow Jesus, it's just that we don't think we have enough time. Here's what Jesus says about this. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And he explains it like this. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Jesus is not pulling any punches here. He's characterizing the other priorities in this life as the deceitfulness of wealth. The lie of wealth. Yes, there are other priorities that we put before Jesus, but Jesus is pulling money out here because he knows that this is something that every single one of us is going to struggle with at some point or another. Whether we have too little or we have too much, we spend an awful lot of time thinking about money. We're worried about how we're going to pay the bills. We're thinking about how to get a raise or a higher paying job, and we're working for a paycheck, and we're applying for a loan or a mortgage, a student loan maybe. We're saving for retirement. We're writing a will to figure out who's going to get all that money after we die. Jesus says a lot about money in the Bible, and the reason why is because it is so easy for money to become a top priority in our life instead of God. This is the deceitfulness of wealth, the lie of wealth, because money can't give us what God can give us. Money can't give us the kind of security that Jesus gives us. Money can't give us meaning or purpose like Jesus can. It can't give us love. It can't really give us peace. It might give us a temporary moment of happiness, but not long-lasting joy. And money certainly can't give us eternal life. Perhaps you're here today and this is the ground that you resonate with. This ground that's full of the thorns of competing priorities. It might be the priorities, just a busy life crowding Jesus out. It might be the deceitfulness of wealth crowding him out too. But whatever it is, we've just made Jesus one priority among many. Whether you find yourself today resonating with the hard-packed path where the seeds are stolen by the crows, the rocky ground with a shallow soil, or the thorns that crowd out the good stuff, each one results in no harvest. Each one either begins with or leads to spiritual blindness and deafness. Let's turn back to what Jesus says about this. He says, "You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." Pay attention. They have closed their eyes. We have closed our eyes. "Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Friends, Let me reiterate again, these are not words of condemnation. This is a gracious invitation to step in to something better. And so let's turn to the good soil. In my New Year's Eve resolution parable, the good soil is the friend who downloads the healthy eating app, follows the plan, gets advice from the free coach, throws out the old food that is not healthy, adds in some new, good, healthy food, makes the recipes, finds the time, and at the end of the month, they are feeling healthy, they have lost weight, they've got more energy, and miraculously, they seem to be healed from some illnesses and some ailments from the past. This is the person who hears Jesus and, like the other ground, receives Jesus with joy. But they do something different. They choose one next step. Perhaps it's joining Alpha that Jay talked about, a course that is designed to help us explore big questions like who is Jesus and what is the purpose of life? Their faith begins to grow as life begins to make sense. And then they take one next step. They commit to regular church attendance. They decide to live with generosity, both with their finances as they sign up for regular giving and maybe their time as they sign up for regular serving. And guess what? Their faith begins to grow even more. And so they take one next step. They get a Bible. They get a very simple plan for reading and praying every single day. And not every day is perfect. Some days they end up not getting to it. But overall, they're pretty committed. And guess what? Their faith grows even more. And in time, they realize they are experiencing a huge harvest. A huge harvest of freedom and peace and joy. They have the ability to forgive those who have hurt them, and so they're living with a new lightness. They know they are loved by God, and that love is flowing out into the world around them. They are making a difference with their lives. They're living with meaning and purpose, and they know where they're going in eternity. Listen to how Jesus describes this. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And Jesus explains it like this. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. We need to step back into Jesus's worldview for a second, because in all of his stories, there's usually an element, a detail that is surprising, that would have shocked the listeners, that was amazing and kind of out of this world. So in Jesus' time, a yield that was a 30 times yield the seed was a good harvest. A 60-fold yield was an amazing harvest. This would be a very, very good year. A 100-fold yield was a miracle. This would have been a work of God, something that only God can do. This is what happens in our lives when we allow the Spirit to work within us, transforming us wherever we find ourselves today into the good soil. The good news is that it doesn't matter if you're the hard-packed path right now or the rocky ground or the thorns. The work of the Spirit in our lives can transform us into the good soil. When we allow Jesus to till up the hardness of our hearts to receive his message, we might just find that he's leading us to forgive those who have hurt us. That might be the very thing that is needed to move us out of a posture of hardness and judgment and criticism. Sometimes things need to be removed out of our life for the good soil to be made. We work with Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowers us to remove the weeds, the thorns, and the rocks, the competing priorities that are leading us away from Jesus or crowding him out. And sometimes things need to be added to the soil to enrich it as well. Sometimes Jesus is asking us to add something into our lives, like fertilizer. It might be a new practice in our lives. It might be a new way of encountering Jesus through community. It could be that Jesus wants to add some manure in our lives. Jesus has this way when we allow him, of turning the manure into in our lives into a rich, lush, fertile soil out of the which the best harvests grow. And year after year after year, the soil grows more rich and nutrient dense, and it also grows deeper. The topsoil goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's not just topsoil, it is a deep, rich soil out of which a rich harvest grows. The key in all of this, we don't grow the harvest. The harvest is the work of the Spirit within us. And so I ask you today, what might the Holy Spirit be inviting you into today? What might be the next step to produce a good soil in your life? What might Jesus be asking you to do to soften that hard-packed ground, to till it up? What weed might he want to pull out with you? What nutrient might he want to add into the soil of your life? Whatever it is, Jesus' words are true. He will do what he said he would do. Our eyes will be opened, our ears will be unplugged, and we will experience the reality of Jesus, both now and face to face in eternity. So we're going to pray in a moment for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit to do this work in our lives. But before we do, we're going to turn to another practice, something that Jesus gave us, the Lord's Supper, communion. And as we participate in communion together as a community, this is just another way of enriching the soil of our lives. So if you're here in person, go ahead and open up those packets. It might take a second. Don't eat it yet. I will cue you when it's time to eat after we pray. And if you're at home, grab your crackers and your juice or whatever it is you're using for communion. When we participate in this meal, it is a physical sign of what is happening spiritually. We are taking Jesus, the presence of God, within us, enriching the soil of our lives that we might produce a rich harvest. So when Jesus got to the end of his life, when most of that crowd had fallen away and all that was left was his inner circle of disciples, he gathered them together for a meal. He took bread, he broke it, he gave thanks, he blessed it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took a cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." Now let's pause and pray before we eat and drink. Father, we thank you for speaking to us through stories. And thank you for the story you've given us today. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us if we have been responding to the seeds of your kingdom message like hard-packed earth, where the enemy can steal away the seeds of your kingdom. Forgive us for being the rocky ground with shallow soil. Forgive us for the thorns in our life, the weeds that choke out the harvest. Father, open our eyes and our ears as you fill us with your Spirit, that we might know exactly what it is you are asking us to step into. Is there a thorn, a weed that needs to be removed? Is there an additive that you want to put into the soil of our lives? Father, most of all, we pray for rich harvest. We pray for a rich harvest of love and joy and peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, which is really just freedom from our addictions. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us now. We long for harvest. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. And now, friends, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Go ahead and eat. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Go ahead and drink. Amen.